Shining Church. So the reading from today is Psalm 115 from page 954, if you want a moment to turn to the Pew Bibles. So 954. Psalm 115. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be glory, because of your faithfulness. Why do the nations say, "Where is their God?" Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. But their idols are silver and gold, made by human hands. They have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see. They have ears but cannot hear, noses but cannot smell. They have hands but cannot feel, feet but cannot walk, nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. All ye Israelites, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. House of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless his people Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. May the Lord cause you to flourish, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind. It is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to the place of silence. It is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. Praise the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Hey, just a quick shout out to Kim. Thanks so much for jumping on Proclaim last minute during that song. Saved it. Thank you. Just a few images are gonna come up on the screen. We've got a few kids here today, but everyone can kind of help with this. These images. Hopefully they pop up. These ones. Can anyone shout out what these are? What's this image just on the left? It's a football. What about that one in the middle? Can you shout it out? It's a book? Oh, a rugby ball. Sorry, it's a rugby ball or a football. Sorry. ChatGPT got confused. Sorry. So what the second one across? A phone. What about the third one across? What's that? That's money. And the last one, what's that? Work or an office building. Some of you have like a career and that kind of thing. Now, these are all great things, aren't they? They're all great things. Kids, who loves playing sport? Who loves running around outside? Got a few hands, love playing football. Yeah, and adults as well, love running around outside. We love doing things like playing games. You can play games on a phone or a tablet. People love doing that. And we love playing with toys as well. Lots of fun things that we get, right? And they're all good because God made them. They're great because God made them and gave them to us. But did you know that these are the kind of things that we turn into idols? An idol is a bit of a funny word, isn't it? It's a bit of a weird word. An idol is something that our heart thinks is better than God. That's what an idol is. It's something we trust in when we should be trusting in God. You know, when you're sad or lonely or you're upset about something and wondering what could help you, Psalm 115, the psalm that was just read out, helps remind us that God is so much greater than idols, and we can trust him to be there for us. For example, we've got this football, this guy, and it's really friendly, isn't it? It looks really friendly. But does a football really have eyes to see you when you're struggling or helpless? No, that's silly. What about a mobile phone, the next one? Now, does a phone really have hands to come and help pick you up when you fall down? Has it ever happened for anyone? No, it doesn't. What about money? The next one's money. Does money have a mouth to speak to you? To tell you that it loves you? I don't think it does. I don't think it does. You guys need to read Psalm 115. How about a job or career, the last one, that building? Does it have feet to walk towards you when you're calling out for help? No, the answer is no. See, idols can't help you in the way you really need, because an idol doesn't really have any power to help you. But the good news is, God does. And now I reckon you know the answer to this next question. I'm going to ask it anyway, because it's so important that we know the answer. But how do you know that God cares about you and is the best thing for you? It's because of Jesus. That's the answer. See, God came to us in our greatest need in Jesus. I've got a little picture of Jesus. Now, we don't really know what Jesus looked like, so just use your imagination. But Jesus, with his eyes, he saw our greatest problem, didn't he? He saw our sin. Jesus, with his hands and his feet, he walked toward us and helped us by going to the cross to die in our place because of our sin. And Jesus, with his nose, he breathed out his final breath on the cross when he died and paid the price for our sin. And then Jesus, with his mouth, he told us how to respond to him by turning away from idols and turning to him to save us from our sin and bring us to God. And you know, Jesus, with his heart, he shows us just how much God really does love us, that he would do all of this for us without asking us to pay for it ourselves. Now, did you know that if you're ever feeling sad or lonely or angry or scared, that you can say exactly what Psalm 115 teaches us to say this morning? So, yeah, Psalm 115 verse 9 says, "All you Israelites, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield." And you can say that to yourself when you're feeling sad, lonely, angry, or scared. You can say, "Self, trust in the Lord. He is my help and shield." Now, a great way to help us remember this is to sing. So we're going to sing a kids' song together. We're going to sing a song by Colin Buchanan that helps us remember that we can trust in the Lord because he is over everything and he'll never let us down. So I'm going to pick up a guitar and we're going to sing "The Lord is King." Do you guys want to stand up? Thank you so much, Chris. Thank you. It's a really great psalm, isn't it? Psalm 115. It's really great. And there are three things I really want us to focus on this morning as we dwell on Psalm 115. I think three things it really helps us in. So this is a psalm that firstly grows and expresses trust in God. It's the first thing. The second thing it does is it moves us to compassion for those who don't know God. And the third thing it does is it actually results in praise of God. Those are the three things. So firstly, it grows and expresses trust in God. The setting of Psalm 115 is really important in helping us understand why it's such a helpful one for us today. You know, at this point in the story of the Bible, the Israelites have been released from slavery in the Persian Empire. They've been given permission to go back to Jerusalem, which had been destroyed by the Babylonians before Persia came in and took over. And the Israelites are in the process of rebuilding the temple. And while they're doing this, the nations around them, they're looking at the Israelites and they're thinking, I mean, Israel was once the greatest nation on earth. Now look at what they've been reduced to. There's no kings like we have. They're led by a bunch of priests, by those from descended from Aaron. They don't live in their own territory like we do. They're rebuilding their city, Jerusalem, but it belongs to the Persian Empire. And they're so small. They once had great armies. They once commanded the land and the sea. Once upon a time, you couldn't count how many people there were there. But now look at them. A stiff wind would just knock them right over. And they mock them, asking a really mocking question. Where is their God? See, our people's fortune was tied to the deity they bowed down to in the ancient Near East. This is how they thought. And for Israel, who claimed to bow down to the God of all, well, look at them. Now look at what they're going through. Where is their God? He's either not there or he doesn't care about what's happening to his people. At least that's what the nations would say. Now, the Israelites building the temple, they were actually acutely aware that they were not what they once were. They knew this. But they also knew that they were not what God had promised they were going to be.
He'd promised them his eternal kingdom, under his eternal king and reign, under his eternal blessing. See, these are the promises of God that they knew to be true, and these are the promises of God they long to see, just like us. See, here's why this psalm is so helpful. It's because of the prayer it begins with. That prayer is, in verse 1, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. It's a prayer that looks forward to what God has promised that he's going to do, and that asks him to do what he has promised. It's a prayer that echoes another prayer, I think, in the New Testament. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Now, you first read this prayer in Psalm 115, and you think it must be a prayer someone says after they've just won something, right? Won a great victory. You know, to God be the glory for what I've just done. You know, the athlete crosses the finish line at the Olympics. They point up at the sky as a way of saying, I've won this race, but the victory belongs to God. That's not what's happening here. See, Psalm 115 has been given to the Israelites and to us as well for times of hardship, for times of pain, for times when we feel mocked and scoffed at. This prayer is saying, Lord, we are weak, but let the world see your glory. Don't answer our prayers for the sake of people thinking that we are strong. Answer our prayers for the sake of people seeing the magnificence of who you are. Do it because of your love and faithfulness and because of the promises you have made to us that we know you will keep. It's a prayer that says we want nothing more than to be caught up in who you are, Lord, not caught up by the false promises of this world. So, Lord, let the world see that you are God. And what a prayer that's been answered in Jesus, isn't it? The eternal God, in verse 3, is in heaven and does whatever he wants. That God comes down and takes our human nature onto himself so that he can show his love, so that he can show the truth about who God is, so that he can show his faithfulness to his promises and save us for eternity by dying on the cross in our place. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh. God became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And John says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So we read Psalm 115, verse 2 to 3. Why do the nations say, where is their God? The psalmist answers, our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases him. And we know that it pleases God to reveal himself in Jesus. It pleases God to save us from our sin, to show his love and to show faithfulness to his promises. See, this is our God. Where is their God? How do we answer that? We point to Jesus, God with us, God for us, God who saves us, God who has given us an eternal home with him to hope for and long for while we're here. So that's God. But what about the alternative in this psalm? What about what the nations surrounding Israel treat as their gods? In other words, what are their idols? Verse 4 to 8 tells us, but their idols are silver and gold made by human hands. They have mouths but can't speak, eyes but can't see. They have ears but can't hear, noses but can't smell. They've got hands but they can't feel, feet but can't walk. Nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. See, here is the comparison between God and idols. Remember what an idol is, something we make better than God in our hearts. See, Psalm 115 reminds us firstly that an idol is made by human hands. We give them human characteristics. We make them more than they are. And secondly, an idol can't do anything. See, we give them those kind of human characteristics like, you know, like the football or rugby ball, or like money, a career, technology, you know, toys, fun, science, all those things. We give them human characteristics, but ultimately they don't do anything. They don't see our need. They don't hear our cries. They don't come to us on feet and lift us up with hands. They don't speak to us and comfort us. So that's an idol, but God is not made. He's the maker of all things, of heaven and earth, in verse 15. In verse 9, 10, and 11, we read that God is our help and shield. It's repeated again and again. Verse 12 tells us that God remembers his people and will bless them. And verse 14 tells us that while Israel is small right now and in the minority, God will cause them to flourish. Psalm 115 tells us that there's just no comparison to be made. And so the psalm exhorts God's people to have the only response they could have after being faced with this reality of who God is. All you Israelites, trust in the Lord. And the voice says, the voices thunder back. He is their help and shield. House of Aaron, this is the leaders of Israel, trust in the Lord. And the voices thunder back. He is their help and shield. And you who fear him, this is all who come to join them from the nations around. Trust in the Lord. And the voices echo back and thunder back. He is their help and shield. Well, Trinity Church only, everyone here, trust in the Lord. Why? Well, he is our help and shield. But it's not just the nations of Israel's day that ask that question of doubt, is it? Where is their God? It's a question still thrown around today. Where is their God? You see it in media, on social media. You hear it in the workplace, at school, at uni. You hear it from friends and family. But it's not just externally either. It's a question that pain and sickness and sadness and fear and anxiety and grief and loneliness, they all whisper it in our ear over and over and over again. But Psalm 115 helps us understand that our God is real. Our God is alive. Our God acts in our best interest according to his love and faithfulness. Our God remembers us. Our God hears us. Our God sees us. He acts for us. He lifts us up from death to eternal life. He lifts us up from judgment to forgiveness, and from despair to hope, and from grief to joy, all because of Jesus. See, where is our God? We look to Jesus and we see. And he helps us long for his kingdom to come because we know this broken world isn't as it should be. Just like the Israelites were acutely aware that things were not what they once were or what they would be. We know that as well. We know his kingdom is to come, and so we long for it together. And we say, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness, because we know you're going to keep your promises to us. So Trinity Church only, everyone here, trust in the Lord. He is our help and shield. It's the first thing. Psalm 115 grows and expresses trust in God. The next couple are a little bit shorter. The second one is Psalm 115 moves us to compassion for those who don't know God. Verse 8 says of those who make and trust idols, those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. There's that phrase, you are what you worship. I have no idea who came up with that phrase, but it gets thrown around a lot. And we see it right here on this psalm, don't we? You are what you worship. One of the big ideas of the book of Psalms, isn't it, is that we actually share in the fate of the one we trust in, the one we follow, as our Lord, as our King. Their victory becomes our victory. Their loss becomes our loss. We share their fate. And I think that's the idea coming out here. See, those who follow Jesus today, we know that we share in his fate, in his victory over sin and death. But those who follow idols, we're reading in Psalm 115, share in their fate. See, the idea repeated about idols in Psalm 115 is that they can't speak. It's the only thing that's mentioned twice about them. They have mouths, but cannot speak. That's verse 4. And at the end of verse 7, we read, nor can they utter a sound with their throats. But it's verse 17 that hits the hardest. Verse 17 says, it is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to the place of silence. To the fate of those who reject God, who trust in idols, who become like them, is to be cut off from God completely. Now, there's a kind of superiority that Christians can feel toward people who mock them and who discard God. But I want to say, if that's a feeling you have toward anyone, then you need to check your heart. You need to think about who or what you really worship. And you need to be reminded about God's grace for you. In another book of the Bible, in Ephesians 2, hopefully there's a verse on the screen. From verse 1 we read, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who were disobedient." He says, "All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature deserving of his wrath." Let's just say, by nature, we all belong in the place of silence. And not a single person can say otherwise. But Paul continues, doesn't he, with the most amazing news. He says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." You know, even as Jesus was dying on the cross, he was mocked by the very people he came to save. We read that they said things like, "He trusts in God." This is in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 27, verse 43. "He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God." Can you hear the real question they're saying? That in other words, that they're mocking him and saying, "Where is his God?" And yet Jesus looked down at people like this, and even as they were mocking him, we read in Luke's account of the crucifixion in chapter 23, verse 34, that Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Jesus, as he's mocked, as he's crucified, he acts toward his enemies out of forgiveness and love. We were his enemies, objects of God's wrath, now called children of God through faith in a loving, merciful Savior, who's acted toward us out of an impossible and undeserved grace instead of an absolute and deserved judgment. And how can we, knowing this, look out at the people today who don't know Jesus and who might mock him and mock us and feel superior to them, when we know how Jesus has felt and acted toward us in our great need? Now, this psalm doesn't move us to superiority. That's not the direction it's going. It moves us to love and compassion for the lost, because that is what they are. The lost sheep who are being driven toward wolves by their desires and loves that can only be fulfilled in Jesus, who are walking in darkness toward the place of silence from where there is no return, when what they need is to turn toward the great shepherd, who looks upon people who are like sheep without a shepherd and doesn't cast them aside, but has compassion on them, and who bids them to come to him. Psalm 115 moves us to compassion and love and pity for those who don't know God. And finally, it results in praise. Results in praise of God. Verse 16 to 18 say, "The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind. It is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to the place of silence. It is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. Praise the Lord." Now, these verses highlight three different realms that are all under the sovereign reign and control of God. The highest heavens, where God dwells. Earth, where God has caused humanity to dwell and then given it to us to steward. And the place of silence, where those who refuse God will dwell eternally. Now, Christopher Ashe is someone who's spent a lot of time in the Psalms and written a handful of books on them. And he says that this verse has these echoes of Genesis chapter 1 and God's created order, of creating humanity, of creating the world and giving us the world to steward and to care after. But I think it also echoes the story of the fall, doesn't it, when sin first entered the world with the place of silence and of death, of judgment. But the focus and the spotlight really in this last section is on what God's chosen people do on earth. That's where it is. In light of who God is in heaven and in light of the fate of those who go to the place of silence. And where we are left at the end of Psalm 115 is with praise. Praise of God both now and forever. See, it's our purpose as God's people on earth to praise him. It's been the purpose of God's people all along, to not shine a light on ourselves, but on the glory of God. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be glory. In the New Testament, Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 10, he dwells on this purpose of God's saved people. Drawing on Exodus chapter 19 that we went through last year, he says, "But you are a chosen people," in 1 Peter 2, verse 9 to 10, "you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." In the face of mocking and scoffing and doubt-inducing questions about God, the result of the psalmist's comparison of our God to idols is praise. Praise of a God who is loving and faithful to his promises, of a God who remembers his people, who blesses those who fear him, small and great alike, who causes his people to flourish as he adds to our number those who are brought from death to life in Christ. As we remember what God has done for us in Christ, just nothing compares to God. We need to remember this, and the world needs to know it. So we take part in the greatest thing we could. We extol the Lord, both now and forever. Praise the Lord. So Psalm 115 grows and expresses trust in God. It moves us to compassion for those who don't know him, and it results in praise. There's a fourth thing on your handouts as well. It's the question, where is their God? Because this psalm is so wonderful, isn't it? It kind of takes that question and turns it around on its head. See, we know where our God is. He's in heaven. We want to know our God. We look to Jesus. Rather than making us feel small and neglected and doubtful, this psalm reflects that question back onto the world, into people's minds and hearts. It causes us to think about who and what we really worship if it's not God. It causes us to think about who and what we are really trusting in if it isn't God. And idols are everywhere in our culture, aren't they? Everywhere in our culture. They don't just sit in the ancient history books. And Christopher Ash highlights three in particular that I think are really helpful for us to dwell on, because I think they're idols in our culture, in our lives, that largely go undetected. Firstly, he highlights different projects that we can kind of make for ourselves in life. But a big one is education. You might devote your life to education and make it the one thing that's important to you. Gaining knowledge and gaining understanding. Everything that comes with in our society today as well. But at some point, either you fail at it or it fails you. And when that happens, education doesn't come to you and comfort you. It doesn't try to lift you up. It doesn't speak words of comfort to you. All you are left with is the debt that you have made by sinking your time, money, and your life into it. Well, the second thing would be health and fitness. But then old age or illness or injury strikes, and because you've made it that one thing that you live for, when it fails, there isn't any comfort. Because it doesn't hear your prayers. It doesn't come to your side and help you. Well, lastly, it could be a human relationship. And though rightly precious, When you make a God of it and make it everything, when it inevitably fails in some way because of either relational breakdown or because of the reality of death, when it fails as your God, there is no comfort in it. It's not going to see your need for love. It's not going to try and save you. And there are other things we make idols that were spoken about: sports, careers, technology and science, money. Psalm 115 teaches us those who make them into idols and trust in them become like them. Deafened to the truth because they don't hear. Blind to sin because they can't see. Mute and unable to speak when their voice could be used in the greatest activity of all time. Praising the God who made them. He loves them and offers salvation and eternity. He offers to see his kingdom come, and not only that, but be in it. See, we praise God because he is worthy of praise. His name alone is worthy of glory. And we praise God because those with ears to hear need to hear of Jesus and need to see his glory for themselves. They need to. And we praise God because there is nothing better in all of creation than to know our God. The nations scoff and mock and question, where is their God? And we know the answer like the sky is blue. Where is our God? We point to where our own eyes are fixed. We point straight to Jesus. Let me lead us in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you as the God who has made himself known, as a God who is holy and far above us in every single way, the God who we turned away from in sin and rejection and rebellion, yet the God who came down to this broken world to show love and grace and mercy, to make it possible for our sins to be forgiven, for us to have life with you for eternity. Lord, we pray that you would help us not to turn to worthless idols. Lord, when we feel that the drain of living in this world in different ways, we pray that you would help us to see you and look to you. I pray that you would help us see idols for what they are, that they are worthless and offer us nothing. They don't see us, they don't hear us, they can't come to us, they can't help us. Yet you are a God who has shown in the greatest way possible that you do those things. And even better than that, we know that you are still here dwelling with us by your Spirit, Lord. A deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, guaranteeing our life with you. Lord, we praise you as our God. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be glory because of your love and faithfulness. Amen.